We're beginning a new series this morning. It's kind of a new mini-series as part of our series on prayer, our powerful one-sentence prayers. And we're looking now at sentence prayers that Jesus spoke on the cross. We're running up to Easter. There's only a few Sundays until Easter. And so we're going to be reflecting on Jesus there on the cross and the things that he was praying as he was there. And I found this really helpful myself as I've been preparing for this because I know that so often I feel the need to retreat to a quiet, solitary place to pray. We have small children and very aware of the noise and the hustle and bustle of life and that need to retreat. And yet here in this passage, I see Jesus praying amidst all the noise, all the mess, all the sin, all the difficulty, all the suffering, in a very public place, and he's praying. He's even praying out loud. And that just struck me as well, that if I find that hard and I actually get time within my work to set aside time to pray, I know that for mums particularly, I'm so mindful of the all that mums do. Just huge respect for Laura and the other mums here. I know that often, actually, it's one of the hardest times and seasons of life when you have small children to take time to pray. And maybe these series on the prayers on the cross will just be an encouragement that actually, in the midst of it all, just one sentence of prayer can be immensely powerful. I'm going to be turning first and foremost to this little prayer, Father, forgive them. It's in Luke 23. And most of what follows is things that my dad was sharing with me yesterday after they'd managed to get the flight home. And that was a huge answer to prayer in itself. They managed to change their ticket. And he was just sharing with me some of what he was planning to say. So I hope that this is helpful. And may God just use it to touch our lives. You know, we live in a very broken world, and as we turn to this passage, very mindful that sometimes, even on this Mother's Day, as Tim was reminding us in that prayer, there can be a lot of hurt and pain. Obviously, loss can be a huge part of that, but sometimes there's another kind of pain, the pain of broken relationships. Parents who've been hurt by their children, mothers hurt by their sons and daughters. Children hurt by their parents and by their mothers and the things that they've done. And we come to a passage that's very real about the pain and the difficulty and the brokenness of life. And that's even just in the present. We don't know all that the future holds. My dad was telling me of a very tender moment he'd had with his mum when she was actually 80 years old. So this is not that long ago. My gran is now in glory. But this was a moment my dad had with my gran. And my gran just came up to my dad and said, you know, I don't know what the world's going to be like when you're 80. But I hope you keep shining for Jesus. And you know, I don't know what the world will be like when you're 80. Maybe you already are. But I hope you keep shining for Jesus. And we're going to see in this passage some things that will help us be able to do that in amidst sometimes what can be very difficult circumstances. And so we're going to turn to Luke 23, and though we're going to focus on verse 34, I want to pick up the reading from verse 26, and we're going to see in here the realness of life that Jesus is it wants to help us in. And even in this passage, we're going to see some of the pain that can be there in motherhood. Jesus is very aware of the great pain of not being able to have children. But even in this way onto the cross, Jesus is aware of the pain of being a mom and the pain sometimes that there can be in this world. So let's pick it up in verse 26 as we read together. If you don't have a Bible, thanks Cynthia and others are just there with one. It's page 1060 in the Bibles that are around you and in front of you. Thanks. Luke 23, verse 26, and then we're going to dwell and focus on verse 34. As they led him away, they seized Simon from Cyrene, who was on his way in from the country, and put the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A large number of people followed him, including women who mourned and wailed for him. And Jesus turned and said to them, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, weep for yourselves and your children. For the time will come when you will say, 'Blessed are the barren women, and the wombs that never born, and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if men do these things when the tree is green, what will happen when it is dry?" Jesus pointing ahead to times when mothers would be in such anguish over the pain that their children were going through, that Jesus says, stark words, "Blessed are the barren womb and the wombs that never bore and the breasts that never nursed." We live in a broken world. But it's because we live in that broken world that Jesus keeps walking. And he walks to the cross, and it says in verse 32, two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. And when they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him along with the other criminals, one on his right and the other on his left. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. Lord, help us understand your words. Help us to see you more clearly this morning. Help me, I pray. Thank you for the prayers of your people. Thank you that you hear us when we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to take you into this scene a bit more vividly here. We have Jesus on that Good Friday there going to be executed with two criminals. He's been falsely charged. There are women wailing as he's been scourged and beaten, and he's walking through the streets of Jerusalem. He's there with now these Roman centurions, brutal in their way they treat people, and he's being laid on a cross. And they're driving nails through his hands and through his feet. And they're hoisting him up in a position where he knows it's going to be hard to breathe, hard to survive. And I want you to see that in that moment, in amidst all that's going on, it is then that he prays this remarkable prayer. "Father, forgive them." Just consider that for a moment. I don't know how you see Jesus. It's the first thing I want us to think about this morning. I don't know how you see Jesus, but as I see him there in that moment, I think, wow. I don't know anyone else I'd rather follow than this man. This man who is able in such an extraordinary way to show such love and compassion and grace, even in a moment like that. I don't know anyone else in the whole of human history who compares to this man, Jesus Christ. So really connected to our suffering and our need, and yet able to pray with those kind of words. And I think it's appropriate for us, just when we read a passage like this and when we think of that prayer in that context, in that setting, just to pause and allow a kind of awe and a wonder and a worship of Jesus to fill our hearts, like we've been doing as we've been singing. Isn't it a remarkable thing that this one who was God come to earth should be willing to endure and go through this and pray such prayers at a time like that? It is a astonishing thing. And I just personally know that this is the kind of man I want to follow and trust. If this is what God is like, and that's what the Bible says, that Jesus is God come to earth to show us Christ, then I'm thinking, this is the man for me. This is God. This is the one I want to follow and put my trust in and my love in. And I want to urge you today as we read and unpack this passage to wonder again at Jesus Christ, to see him afresh, to see him not just as maybe a good teacher or someone who's done some wonderful things so you can come along to, but see him as an extraordinary, unique person in history. God who came to die for us, who came to offer us forgiveness, who was able to pray such an extraordinary prayer. And if you were here last week, I've been reflecting on the fact that this prayer is one of those amazing prayers in the Spirit that I was talking about last week. It's a prayer where he has such confidence in his Father and intimacy with the Father. Do you remember we were talking about that? He prays, Father. Father. And then there's this amazing love. As he knows of the Father's love, he's able to love those around him. That not love like we love, supernatural, Spirit-filled love. That's the love that we can't do of ourselves, but we can do with God's help. And he then prays, Father, forgive them. So let's start with this awe and wonder at Jesus Christ and all that he's done as he comes into our broken world. There is no one better to follow. There is no one of more compassion, more humility, more grace, more love than this Jesus. But the second thing I want us to see this morning is how Jesus sees us. How does Jesus see us? How does Jesus see you? And maybe this is kind of connected with this question as well of how we see ourselves. Because I think sometimes we can see ourselves and we can think, you know what? We haven't done that much wrong, really. There are a lot of worse people in the world. I'm not that bad person. That person over there, they're really bad. Those people who killed Jesus, they're absolute rotters. And, you know, I've not done that much wrong. And we can sometimes have that approach. And yet this little phrase at the end of Jesus' prayer, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That applies to you and I, too. When mothers, you lose your temper with your kids. You're not just losing your temper with your kids. There's something going on in the heavenly realms where you are saying to God, God, your grace and your love that you can give me is not sufficient. So I'm now going to just lose it in my own strength. And you don't know what you're doing when you do that. And dads, when you can't be bothered to support your wives, when you think, you know what, this is me time. You don't know what you're doing. You don't know the extent of the impact that's not having just on your family, but before God as well. In fact, the Bible says that all of our sin, and there's sin in all our lives, all our selfishness, all those times we decide to put our trust in money more than our trust in God. That grieves God, that is worthy offense before God in a way we could never even begin to understand. And actually, all of us in some way contributed to this death of Jesus. That our sin held him there on the cross. So maybe this morning you're here and you're thinking, well, David, how does this passage relate to me? Well, there's a very real way that it relates to us because it's our sin, our things that maybe we don't even realize the full implication of them. They're there. But then here's the other thing that I think can grip us sometimes. Sometimes we fall into that camp where we think, well, I'm not really that bad. I haven't done anything that much wrong. And other times we can be so overwhelmed with guilt. So aware of our sinfulness and our need. And I think sometimes mothers actually particularly struggle this. You know, what if I'd done that? What if I'd said this? What if I'd loved them more? What if I, you know, and we can end up being this thing of, it's so aware of our faults and our needs. And, you know, I've spoken about this in previous other Mother's Day. I think there's just, mothers can end up feeling like they get it wrong if they do this or wrong if they do that. And so much mother guilt can be piled on. But it's true for all of us. When we problem or habitual sin that we find we can't, we're struggling to break and we feel like God's never gonna, he's never gonna be able to love me. And yet what we see here in this passage is that Jesus is able to say to the very people who are nailing the nails into his arms and hands, he's able to say, Father, forgive them. For they don't know what they're doing. And if he's able to say that to them, is he not also able to say it to us? When we're struggling and thinking God can't forgive us or you know, there's our needs, our guilt is so great. I tell you what, it's not too great for Jesus. Not too great for this wonderful Savior who reaches out his hand to say, come on, take hold of my forgiveness. And I want to say, folks, maybe young people, maybe students, maybe you're in an older season of life and you're aware of some of the struggles and some of the challenges of trusting God in that season of life. I want to say that whenever you find yourself in a situation in the future where you're thinking, Can God really forgive me this? Reach out your hand to receive the grace and the forgiveness of God, the one who says, Father, forgive them. The one who we read in scriptures is still at the right hand of God, even now, praying for us, interceding for us. And take hold of his hand and let it sustain you and help you. Jesus sees you and I full, with eyes full of grace and compassion. So however you might see Jesus this morning, this is how Jesus sees you. He sees you with eyes full of grace and compassion. Whatever mess you've made of your life, whatever things you've struggled with, whatever things you are struggling with, Jesus wants you to know his forgiveness this morning. He longs to forgive you and I. Why not receive his forgiveness this morning? Why not receive afresh? Maybe it's something this week. Maybe it's something 10 years ago. Receive his forgiveness afresh. Well, the last thing I want us to see in this passage this morning, just in this amazing prayer of Jesus, is not just how should we see Jesus, that we should see him with just awe and worship and wonder as this amazing Savior who can pray like this in such a moment. And not just to realize the forgiveness and compassion that Jesus has for us, but then lastly, how do you and I see others? How do you see others? And I want to say this, if you're serious about wanting to follow this Jesus Christ, and I know in this room many of you are, and that for those who are not sure, I want to say, like I said right at the start, there is no one better to follow, no one better to focus on and pour out your life to than this Jesus. So I hope all of us will leave wanting to follow this Jesus. Well, if we're serious about doing that, then there is no way we can contemplate this passage and all that's going on and be serious about following Jesus without having a radical commitment to forgive others. A radical commitment to saying, I'll forgive you. I'll forgive you. I'll forgive those when they don't even know what they're doing. Those kids, when they do stuff to you that you just think, ah, that hurts. You forgive them. Your parents, when they do stuff where it just hurts that they've done that again, they know that you don't like that. And you say, I'm going to forgive them. That neighbor, that colleague. My dad was telling me yesterday that he'd heard a story recently, even though he's been speaking on forgiveness and unforgiveness for many years, that just captured this afresh to him. He said that when we choose not to forgive someone, when we choose to harbor any kind of bitterness in our heart, it's like we try to kill the other person by ourselves drinking deadly poison. How nuts is that? But that's what unforgiveness is like, folks. It actually does you the harm, not anyone else. It does you the harm. And not just that, but unforgiveness is so unChrist-like. If there's any here and you're harboring just even a little something against someone else, and often it is little things that we just hold on to. I think one of the things that's hardest about that loving in that supernatural way that we were describing last week with the power of the Spirit is that little phrase, love keeps no record of wrongs. We kind of keep this little, oh, that's another one. If you're doing that, you're not forgiving. And sometimes the small things that we struggle with, but then there are the big things, aren't there? The people who've really hurt us, or even sometimes harder, really hurt those we love. As I was just praying into this message last night, one of the things that I've been so aware of, and we do each time we have a baptism here, we remind people, say, will you hold fast to Jesus, whatever difficulties, challenges, or even persecution? People say, yeah, I'll hold fast to Jesus. And we do that because we're very aware that actually Christians around the world are the most persecuted group of people. And that Jesus says, whoever wants to live a godly life will be persecuted. And so I was thinking about this passage, and I was thinking about this prayer and this call to forgive. And I just felt it was right to say, mothers and everyone here, we need to be so ready to forgive that those who are going to be persecuting our children because of their faith, that we can forgive them. That's the call. That's the radical commitment that Jesus Christ calls of us. And when we see it in that scale, than some of the other stuff, we just got to forgive it really fast. So this is the call, the radical commitment of Jesus to forgiveness. I was speaking on this a few weeks back, so I'm not going to go over all that again. But I want to just highlight as we talk about prayer how much this forgiveness thing is connected. At the prayer night on the Thursday night when we were praying for the Leals, we were just reflecting on this amazing verse on Mark chapter 11, verse 24 and 25. It's up here on the screen. This is an amazing verse on prayer. We're just going to stop at that full stop halfway through, okay? So let's read it together. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. Isn't that amazing? That is a promise of Jesus Christ as we pray. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. Jesus doesn't really kind of say a whole lot more about that other than that. He just gives us that amazing promise. Except one thing he says. He says this. And when you stand praying, if you hold, what's the next word? Against. Pause there. Anything. Against anyone. Forgive them so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins also. I think, guys, we've got tons to grow in prayer. We know that as a church, we're seeking to do that. I wonder maybe, is our unforgiveness being more of a blockage? Are we saying we're following this Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the one who, with nails in his hands on the cross, calls out, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do? Are we receiving his forgiveness in our lives and maybe even struggling at times to do that? But then we're just holding something against someone, and it's being a blockage in our prayers. And you know, forgiveness is tough. Forgiveness means you paying or someone paying, not the other person. You're not trying to get even. Jesus' forgiveness didn't come cheap for him. How can Jesus forgive us? Well, because he dies for us. And he takes not just my sin, but your sin and the one who wrongs me and the one who wrongs my children. And he takes all their sin and says, look, I'll pay for that wrongdoing. I'll pay for that wrongdoing. I'll pay for that wrongdoing. I'll pay for all of these folks at Holland Road and their wrongdoing. And I'll come and I'll take it on the cross. And so the cross is the very means by which Jesus is able to forgive us. The cross of Jesus Christ is the very thing that enables not just him to forgive us, but us then to forgive others because their penalty has been paid. And we can then reach out in love towards others. So, you know, as we reach up at any time and many times, reach up and receive that forgiveness, that grace of Jesus Christ, we're called too to be those who then reach out with our other hand. Seeing others like Jesus sees us. Seeing others with eyes full of compassion and grace. And that's hard when they're just a needy person. Let alone someone who's hurt us. But such is the power that God gives us by his Spirit. Such is what it means to follow this Jesus of Christ. That you and I are called to reach out. And there is so much hurt in our city. So much hurt in our nation. So much hurt in our world. Even as I've been praying this morning, I believe there's just hurt here. In this place. And yet we're called to be a people who are so connected to this Jesus, so aware of his grace and compassion that we're reaching out to one another in love. Receiving this forgiveness, receiving the prayers of Jesus for us, and then also praying even for others. One of the early followers of Jesus was a remarkable man called Stephen. In the early church in Acts chapter 7, he was speaking out about the things of God. Hope that we're going to be speaking out as we come up to Easter time. But all the way through, if you know this Jesus, speak of the grace and the love that he has for people. But as Stephen was doing this, people got very upset. They didn't want to hear this. They liked the way they did things. They thought he was unsettling the peace. And so they dragged him outside and they started to throw rocks at him. Real rocks. They started to stone him. And as he was dying, I'm sure aware of this prayer of Jesus on the cross, this Stephen, one of the first Christian martyrs, says, Lord, do not hold this sin against them, for they know not what they're doing. It's Mother's Day. Being a mom is a high calling. It's like one of the toughest jobs there is. It's a job that demands love. It's a job where you often feel like it requires more of you than maybe you've got the capacity to give. It's a job in many ways that's not dissimilar from the amazingly high calling of being a follower of Jesus Christ. To love not in your own strength, to give of yourself for others. Remember the children? They cook me dinner. They care for me. They're kind to me. They give me hugs. Those are great starting points for what we're to be to this city. What we're to be to the needy in this congregation. What we're to be to those who are struggling and suffering. Those who come and, like Jesus, go that extra mile. Do that radical thing of praying for even those that hurt us. Father, forgive them. But you know, to do that, we have to first have seen Jesus for who he is. To believe that he, as he dies there on the cross for us, as he prays for us, he is the one who can forgive us, who sees us with those eyes of compassion. And then that frees us and enables us to be able to live these radical, amazing lives of love. Even when we're hurt. And we carry hurts, don't we? We're waiting sometimes to think, well, who's going to love me like that? Well, God has loved us like that. And that enables us then to start loving this amazing way that Jesus does. So I'm just going to pause there. We've got some time to reflect. I'm going to ask the band to come up. And one of the things we want to do is we want to worship this Jesus, this one who is so able to help us. And I've been try every morning to just have something about Jesus that I hold on to. One of the things for me today was just that he is utterly dependable. You know, Jesus is utterly dependable. His love is utterly dependable. He's so wonderfully worthy of all of our praise. And what I'd love us to do is that as we just pause and consider Jesus afresh and worship him in this awe and wonder, I would love us to then sing that praise my soul, praise that we were just singing beforehand. Would that be possible, that hymn that we didn't sing the verses of? I wonder if we get the verses on the screen. We're gonna come and praise this Jesus, this King of Heaven. And then what I would love us to do out of that is we're going to come into a time of receiving and ministering the things that God puts on our heart. We're going to have a time of receiving God's forgiveness for stuff. That we would really in our lives just know a freedom of guilt taken away. And we're then also going to have a time of forgiving others. Because of Jesus, because of this one we're worshiping. We're going to have a ministry team just available here. You can come and ask for prayer, or you can pray with someone. Also, if you just need to do that in your own seats, that's okay too. I'm going to be praying down here. Maybe I could ask a couple of the prayer team to just join with me here at the front, and I'm ask some to be at the back where Neil is, and up there, if some people could just go and be available to pray up there. If you're part of that prayer ministry team usually, but you haven't got your yellow pendant, don't worry. I'd still love you to get involved after this. So we're gonna worship God together. That prayer team's going to get into place. Tim's then going to come through and just lead us through the rest of the service. But I'm just going to pray that God would move in a remarkable way as we receive this forgiveness, as we worship him, and as we forgive others. So, Lord Jesus, we just invite you now, come. You who died and rose again. You who are there now, ascended into heaven, praying for us. You who, when you were raised on the cross, cried out, Father, forgive them. For they do not know what they're doing. Lord, we see you there and we worship you. Who is there like you? Lord, I pray, stir faith in any here who've never really seen you like that before as the one who is greater than any other. And Lord, as we do, come and help us live in this broken world. For we ask in your powerful name.